praise God, we're able to work it out. And a brother is here with us this morning. I'm going to ask him to come on up. Jake Luffy and his grandson James is here also with him. They drove in from Pennsylvania. And I just know that I'm sure God placed something on his heart that's especially for us this morning. So come on up, Jake. It's all yours. Be led of God and however God shows you. I can just, no, I'll just hold it for now and I'll grab a stand.
Good morning, everyone. It is good to be with you. I've been looking forward to being here. If you would like to come closer, these are the high-priced seats. And the world stands in line overnight to get these kind of seats, to be hypnotized and traumatized. Thank you. Let's see here. I don't know whether, how's this going to work? I think this is too big.
You know what? I'm going to get something.
While we're waiting for this, I have copies of this book. You're welcome to it. Freely I have received, so freely I would give this to you. I just want to read one quote, if I can find it. I think it's 138. No. Anyway, to give you just a brief detail, this book came out of an experience that I had in Romania, when thieves literally had their hands on me. And it was quite a dangerous situation. The gospel looks quite different. Standing up preaching in front of people. It's very easy to pontificate up here and tell you how to live. And in some ways, it's easy for you to live when you're not in threatening circumstances. So I'm not going to find it. So, here it is. And the Lord delivered me from the thieves. They did not get anything from me, although at that time I had $4,000 on me to give to churches in Romania and Bulgaria. And a friend of mine said, if they would have known how much money that you had on you at that time, it was 1999, they would have killed you to get it. Well, the Lord delivered myself, Pastor Joseph Matua from Kenya, Africa, and Pastor Jacob Nicolai from Romania, from them. When I was delivered, the Spirit of God began to pour revelation into me. It was coming so fast that I could hardly contain it. In fact, I could not contain it. And this is the result of that experience. It's a book called The Way Everlasting. And one of the quotes that I have here is, sometimes what we call or think is our faith is merely the absence of threatening circumstances. So Peter seemed to have great faith when he said to the Lord, though all deny thee, I will not deny thee. That is because there was nothing threatening him at that present time. And not only that, but he had the Lord's strength sitting there before him, seemingly to support Peter. Aren't you glad that Jesus does not commit himself to us when we make certain vows and proclamations? John says, and Jesus did not commit himself to any man because he knew what was in man. Imagine if he would have said to Peter, Peter, thank you. I'm glad there's somebody who is going to join me in my fight to save the souls of men. How many swords do you have? Well, I won't get into that. Okay. Anyway, you're welcome to this, and I hope the Lord blesses you through it. David wrote in Psalm 45, my heart is inditing a good matter. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer, for I will speak of things that I have made concerning the king. Now, what kind of writing surface does a tongue write upon? My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Well, you have to present a soft heart to the one who is doing the writing. And if you do that, then the Lord, through his anointing, will take and he will write his laws upon the fleshly tablets of your heart and put them in your mind. I would like to speak to you this morning about the enlarged heart. Do you know that the Lord has expectations for you? He says, I know the thoughts that I am thinking towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. And the King James says, to give you an expected end. The Lord never gives us the end we expect. He always does, if we respond to him correctly, he always does exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. When he does that in your life, you become a worshiper of God in spirit and in truth. If you can come to that place where you have allowed him to do, where you have cooperated with him to do, exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And when you are in that place, your heart will proclaim, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my eyes. Now remember what Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Paul is not talking about heaven. He is referring back to chapter 1, that's chapter 2 of Corinthians, when he says, you see your calling, brethren, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble after the flesh respond to the call. But God calls those things that are not as though they were. And one of the ways in which God calls things that are not in our life as though they were is by his commandment, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. And so, in the beginning of our call, our eye has not seen, our ear has not heard, neither are we carrying in our heart the things that God has prepared for you personally. They're already prepared. He doesn't have to say, oh, I didn't know that so-and-so was going to get saved. He has had them prepared from before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. And so he wants to bring us, as we walk with him, he wants to author our faith. And as we walk to him, we come into experiences with him that enlarge our heart, that fills our heart with the things that he has prepared for those that love him. Now remember that if you love him, you will keep his commandments. I'm not speaking about the Ten Commandments, but that's okay. We'll get into that. So now you come over to this place and you say, as John said in his epistle, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have handled of the word of life. At one time our eye did not see it, our ear did not hear it, nor were we carrying in our heart. But now, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have handled of the word of life. And the Lord has a heart towards you filled with expectation. And in Isaiah He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, speaking primarily of Jesus, but also speaking of all of those who carry the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Now, why did he anoint Jesus or Paul or anybody else? Why hath he anointed us? Well, one of the reasons is to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, be encouraged today and do not fear a broken heart. And when and if your heart is broken, keep in mind that the Lord is rearranging your heart and putting things in proper order. I had my heart broken at an early age, and I bore with it, and I'm not going to go into the details, for 15 years. It was the greatest affection, earthly affection of my heart. And when it happened, it took away all joy. There was nothing in this life that I cared about. And I thought, well, this loss is going to be something I will never recover. And I went around with this pain in my heart day after day after day. Asked the Lord many times after I got saved to touch it. He waited 15 years. And one day, instantly, he took it away. And the pain was there no more. Now, we sometimes think, well, that's the end of the matter. But do you know that the Lord brought me to a place many years later that from my heart I said, thank you, Lord, for causing me to have a broken heart back those many years. Truly, you have worked that thing together to put your goodness into my heart. Now, the psalmist said, and this is a prayer that you and I, if we are born again of the Spirit of God, carry in us in the incorruptible seed. You are born again of the incorruptible seed, and in that seed is all of this eternal life. And one of the ways that it is expressed is by the desires of the Holy Spirit towards you. He's making intercession for you according to the will of God. And the psalmist expressed this in Psalm 119 when he said, deal bountifully with me, O Lord. And then he tells the Lord why he wants the Lord to deal bountifully with him. And he says, that I may live. He says, and that I might keep your word. He says, deal bountifully with me, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. In other words, open my heart to see tomorrow and the next day what my eye is not seeing today. And there is a building up of the ability to see in a believer as you follow peace with all men, without which no man shall see God. And those people who come into our lives that we would like out of our lives, and we get concerned and condemn and blame them, are not the issue. The issue is, how am I in my heart responding to what they are doing for me or against me or whatever it is? Because all of this life is a matter of the heart. So what the psalmist was asking him for, deal bountifully with me, O Lord. He says later, in 15 verses later, he says, I will run the way of your commandments after you have enlarged my heart. Now, God is in the heart enlarging business. And when I was born, I had a very, 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 very tiny heart. And whatever filled it somehow related to self-love. Okay, now that's true of all of us. See? And I was a sinner. I had the sinful nature. So I had none of the glory of God in it, in my heart. And Isaiah, when he talks about the anointing of the Lord, he says it's to heal the brokenhearted, bind up the brokenhearted. It's to set the captive free. It is to give you the oil of joy for mourning. Isn't that wonderful? Well, before you get the oil of joy, you're going to be mourning. That's okay. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. All right. He will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I hope that you can personally testify to all of those things in some way, shape, or form. And then he says this about those who experience those things. He said, they shall build the old waste places. They shall repair the desolations of many generations. Now, I don't know what your history is as to generations, but I now know, I didn't know it when I was unsaved, what the history of my generations were, and I was born into desolation, and I myself was born desolate. So that when I was sinned against day after day after day, I had no grace in me to swallow up that sin and death in victory. And I would respond with other people's sins against me in some way, shape, or form to save myself, whether it was self-justification, whatever. So, time went on and the Lord marvelously touched me. I have to tell you an experience before I go there. I asked Pastor Diane about she knew a man by the name of Walter Butler. Walter Butler had tremendous experiences in God. And in those experiences, he would talk about the glow of the presence of the Lord. One night, I was in a class before I started full-time Bible school. And the students, the teacher was a man by the name of Hubert Bunny. At the end of the class, Hubert Bunny said, students, let's pray. And we all bowed our heads, as you know, when you pray. And this was his prayer, just a simple, no emotion in it. He said, Lord, enlarge our heart that we might be able to receive more truth. Now, I'm only going to relate to you what happened. I'm not going to try to justify it or not. But like one man says, someone who has an experience is never at a loss to someone who has an argument. So this particular experience took place immediately at the end of Hubert Bunny's words, enlarge our hearts that we might receive more truth. Immediately, the glow of the presence of the Lord manifested himself inside of me. I could tell you exactly where he was, where he ended, and where I began. So if you understand what I'm saying, it would be similar to, and it's very hard to describe spiritual things, but it would be similar to somebody taking a light bulb, a very, very bright light bulb, and putting it inside your chest, and you would know exactly where that light was and where it ended, and you would sense whatever was contained in that light. Well, what was contained in the presence of the Lord was great gentleness and great strength. And when he came upon my heart, it immediately enlarged my heart in this sense. Whatever room I had for Hubert Bunny, the man who prayed, increased dramatically when the Lord answered that prayer instantly. And my heart was enlarged, and I gained a respect for that man that I otherwise would have left that class and never had. Now, I did not know at that point that my heart was not so much enlarged for that night, but it was going to be enlarged so that I could endure what I had to go through in order to have my heart enlarged all the more. The church in America speaks mostly of enjoying, but The Bible, especially the New Testament, speaks of enduring. And he that endures to the end, not the end last days, he that endures to the end, in particular of a commandment, the same will be saved. And Peter says it this way, receiving the end of your faith, not the beginning, you have to receive the beginning, but receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And someone would say, how much faith do I need? Just enough to do the will of God. If you have to crawl to get to where the Lord is calling you to, if you get to where he is waiting for you, he will say in spirit or in words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now when he speaks those words, you now have entered into your heart that which was not back there, because as you go through the process, your heart is enlarged. And one of the main ways in which your heart is enlarged is by your obedience to the Lord. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to refer to a lot of scriptures. You can check them later if you want. But when Paul says, you see your calling, God calls those things that are not as though they were, in order to bring to nothing things that are. What things is he going to bring to nothing? Pride, envy, lust, bitterness, unforgiveness. He will bring self-centered interest. He will bring it literally to nothing. Fear, he will bring fear to nothing. Perfect love casts out fear. Or love, the love of God perfected in you in a particular commandment, will cast out fear from your life. And then, and this is so important, Paul says, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But then he says just a couple verses later, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now remember that you can be in Jesus one minute and be out of him the next. And so Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he's in the Lord. And then he turns and says, far be it from you to go to the cross. See, if you're walking in the Spirit, you are in Christ. But if you're walking in bitterness or anger, there's no sin in Jesus. How would you bring sin into him? You can't be in Christ at that particular time. So Paul then goes on to say, of him are you in Christ Jesus, and I hope you get this, who of God is made unto us. Isn't that wonderful? That God made Jesus Christ every day he walked on this earth, every commandment that he spoke to Jesus, every word that he gave was to change Jesus from one glory to another glory until finally he could come to the glory of the only begotten of the Father who could lay down his life on Calvary. And it says, and Jesus, being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation. So God has made him unto us. What has he made him unto us? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And that is the order. Wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification produce the redemption. The redemption is the recovering of that which has been lost in our lives. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when the Lord deals bountifully with us, he is going to supply our need out of the riches of his glory. Well, what does he supply out of the riches of his glory? His glory. And he takes us from one glory to another glory, to another glory, to another glory. And now I am no longer as short of the glory of God that I was over there. And to the extent that he has worked his glory in me, to that extent I am able to see his glory. And the more I am changed from one glory to another glory, the more my heart is purified and enlarged, God, out of his measure, comes and is able to put more of himself in me. And his intent is to fill us with all the fullness of God. I need about 500 lifetimes. No, five. No, that's not enough. 5 million lifetimes. Okay. Well, he's going to do that through the ages to come. All right. So we have these small hearts, and the Lord saves us, and he offers to us this eternal life in Jesus, who is filled. Jesus is filled with all the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And my question to you today is, to what extent, to what effect, has Jesus been made to you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification? And to what extent have you partaken in here of the redemption of God? When the Lord saved me, I was a Roman Catholic. My parents were. My wife was. My wife and I, determined nobody or nothing would get us out of the Catholic Church. But when we got saved, the Lord, for me, cut that thing off. I mean, immediately. It was just severed like with a sword. And with that, there came this great gulf between those who stayed in the Catholic Church. And if you were Catholic, you'd understand that. I'm not condemning them. They stayed in the Catholic Church, and us who had left the Catholic Church. My one uncle came to me one day and said, "Do you know what great shame you have brought upon your parents?" It was interesting, because his whole life was one of desolation. He was a drunk, and he would embarrass his family day after day after day. And they were ashamed of what he would say and what he would do whenever he was drunk, which was most of the time. And he came to me and he said, "Do you know what shame you have brought upon your family?" Now, you want to swallow those things down. You want that kind of reproach, that's very healthy for you. Jeremiah says, he was filled full of reproach day after day. Boy, that's delicious. Well, actually, it's not very good, but it sure is valuable in here. And you don't want to release too much by your tongue. It's like taking the valve and letting all the air pressure out of the tire, and the tongue will deflate you. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. So, there was no redemption in my family. There was desolation. And I have to share this experience. Some may have heard it before. I was in Bible school. It was my first year. Any time that we went back to visit my parents, this tension in the house was, you could cut it, as they say, with a knife. I loved my parents. I greatly respected and appreciated them. I didn't realize what a blessing it was to come home every day from school and my mother was there in that house waiting for us. And there were times she had a cherry pie waiting for us. At a time she had homemade bread waiting for us. But more than that, it was the security. But we were not an affectionate family. And then when we received the Lord, this division took place, and there was, if you want to call it, animosity on their part. I don't think that was it. I think they were frustrated for us. They weren't so much against us. I won't go into that. So anyway, it was second year of Bible school, and we go to visit my parents. We had four children at the time and my wife. And it came time that we were going to leave to go back to Bible school. And my mother was about from here to Pastor Eugene away from me. And my wife Audrey was over there. I don't know whether someone else was over here or not. So I'm trying to get out of the house. I've had enough tension. And the commandment came. The Lord spoke to my heart. And although I was in Bible school in classes, the Lord began to teach me and took me to Romans chapter 7, verse 9. I was alive without the commandment, without the law. But when the law came, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment was, go hug your mother. Now, when we do not have the grace and the glory in here to do what God is telling us to do, when our hands hang down and our knees become feeble, which is what happened when he spoke that to me, his commandment is the law to us. And the purpose of that commandment at that point is to cause us to cry out, O wretched man that I am. Remember what Paul said about the commandment. It was ordained unto life. It was good and it was holy. And he's looking at that thing and he's saying, yes, there's life in that. It's good. It's holy. I want to do it, but I can't. The thing that I want to do, I cannot do it. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, oh, wretched man that I am, that I cannot walk 5 feet over to give a hug to my mother. Talk about desolation. Talk about the need for redemption. And when the Lord spoke that commandment, he was giving me his wisdom. It was the wisdom of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And I don't know at what point or how many times I prayed, oh Lord, save my parents. Well, now he was in the process of starting it. And the wisdom of God, I was asking him for wisdom, and the wisdom of God comes, and out of his measure, he has a pretty big heart, he speaks into my little measure, and he says, go hug your mother. And inside, all my strength was gone. And so many things go on in the spirit. And I thought, well, I can go back to Bible school tomorrow. We're going to have chapel. And I can sing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And had I done that, I would have been among those who honor the Lord with their lips, but their heart is far from him. Because the Lord's heart was way down there in all meekness and lowliness, and my heart was way up here in pride. So I could honor him with my lips the next day, but if I didn't do what he told me to do, then my heart would have been far from him. I'm standing there thinking, Lord, let my wife give my mother a hug. She'll do a much better job than I would. And the Lord didn't say these words, but he could have. I'm not dealing with your wife's desolation. I'm dealing with your desolate heart. And I want to repair and heal and enrich and enlarge. Go hug your mother. Well, I was going back in this battle, and finally I said, well, it's going to kill me. And the Lord said, the sooner you get dead, the better off you are. I mean, who wants a guy who can't even hug his mother to live? You want to kill that kind of a guy, right? You want to come to the place where you say, it's no longer I that liveth. This is Christ living in me, walking over there and giving her a hug. This is loving not in word only, but in deed and in truth. Well, I walked over. She was standing there, and she looked up at me with this cold, dead stare. And I thought, she sure doesn't want a hug from me. And she stiffened up like a board. And I put my arm around her like this, and she was standing here. I put my arm around her like that, and I did what the Lord told me to do. It was perhaps the worst hug that was ever given in history. And as far as I'm concerned, it was the best. The next time I came, go and hug your mother. The next time, go and hug your mother. It got to the place where I could see she was coming out to get her hug. And I would not be able to leave without giving her one hug or two hugs or another. You know, people hide their hurt and pain behind certain words, actions, attitudes. And if you can get past those and you get to where their heart is wounded, I thank the Lord that when he binds up our wounds, he doesn't use a jackhammer. He uses two hands that have had nails go through them. So he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he does it in such a gentle a manner in our life. So one day I come home, tell her you love her. Well, I was making good progress. And just like the psalmist said, the Lord had dealt bountifully with me, and now he had enlarged my heart, and he had worked in me to will. I was not willing. If the Lord has to work in you to will, you're not willing. But he will work in you to will. And then he works in you to do. That's not the end of it. Then he brings you to the place over here where you in your heart cry out, I delight to do thy will, O God. So he takes you from not wanting to do something to where it becomes your very delight, and you are able to run the way of his commandments and never become weary in doing that. I never became weary again in hugging my mother. Now, when you pray, deal bountifully with me, O Lord, that I might live and keep your word. If it's in the spirit, you are saying to the Lord, Lord, I give you permission to work outside of my understanding. Therefore, I will not question you and say why. Because my small measure, my small heart, could never begin to understand what you're doing in my life to fulfill your expectation. And if I kept you within the confines of my understanding, how could you ever do exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think? So I must trust in you with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding as you take me through things that are going to enlarge my heart. And that will be one necessary thing for you to have in your heart when you ask the Lord to deal bountifully with you. The second thing is, you are going to have to recognize, and more than recognize, but let's start with recognize, that you will be brought to the end of your strength. You have no strength left. I mean, it's absolutely necessary. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to be, because how can you get eagle's wings from the Lord unless you first utterly faint and fall? And I testify to you today that he can take you to where you have absolutely no strength whatsoever, and in a moment's time put eagle's wings on you, and you're flying. And you're up in the heavenlies looking back and thinking, what was the problem? So, and now the third thing. He will exhaust your strength. He will work outside your understanding. And the third thing, you have to give him permission, and he'll take it anyway, even if you don't, to deal death blows to your earthly affections. Because they make the heart small. And when you are able to commit to the Lord all that you are, all that you love on the earthly level, He then can take those things out and keep them where they need to be kept, if they need to be kept. And now the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart where there was no room for it. The end of the commandment, Paul says, the end of it. Why? The beginning of it, go hug your mother. But the end of it is love out of a pure heart, or love out of a purified heart. That's the purpose. That's why God speaks and tells you to do something. It's not haphazard. It's not willy-nilly. When He gives you a word, it's line upon line upon line, precept upon precept upon precept. And so in Romans chapter 5, and he's referring later on when he says the commandment came, Paul says, by faith we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Well, where did we get this faith? We don't have it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Go hug your mother. How much faith do I need? Just to get over there and get my arm. Why not? Oh, it's only one arm. Didn't even do two arms. Just enough. Now, we have to go through some tribulation, and tribulation worketh patience. And this is the wonderful part. And patience brings experience. I know the thoughts that I am thinking towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to a place, to bring you to an end, where your hope is realized and births a greater hope than you've ever had before. From faith to faith, from hope to hope, from love to ever greater love. And you have this experience in God. And when you have it, you now have an enlarged heart, and the love of God is shed abroad in that vacant place where there was no room for it before. And now we love Him because He had first loved us. And as it says in John, and Jesus said in John, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I don't know what I look like in the spirit when the Lord said to me, go hug your mother. But the anointing in Isaiah is to break the yoke. It is to set the captive free. It is to break bondages. And I was bound up pretty badly, with lots of grave clothes wrapping around me. Well, 20 years later, we had a graduation party for my son. It probably was about 18, let's say 18 years later. My mother was in my kitchen. We were having it at my house. She was standing over there. There were a couple of people over there. I don't know who they were. Don't remember. And I looked at her. Now, this is 18 years after. Do you know, when you obey the Lord, it is like throwing a stone into a pond. And that stone hits, and there's a ripple. And then there's another ripple, and there's another ripple. Do you know that uncle I talked to you about who said to me, what shame you have brought? Many years later, he called me, and he said, Jake, I didn't know your son was getting married today. If I would have known that, I would have come to the wedding. Redemption. Jesus Christ has been made unto us redemption after you walk in His wisdom. Well, she's standing there, I'm here, and she gets this strange look on her face. And I thought, I wonder what she's thinking. And like that, she's over here. The Holy Ghost will set your feet dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will fill you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you can get to where He is calling you to. And it will not be emotion. It will be so far more real than emotion. It will last, and no one will be able to take that joy from you, and negative circumstances won't be able to take it from you. And she wrapped her arms around me, and she looked up at me, and she said, "I am so proud of you. Redemption." And I thought, "Mom, it's not me that you're proud of. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would have brought you shame just like some others in the family had done. But the Lord redeemed my life from destruction, the destruction of the desires of my own heart." That's what he redeems our life from, the destructions of. Well, that was redemption. A friend of mine, Pastor Jack Stewart, talks about a woman who was, well, actually it was related by a pastor. In Chicago, at the end of the service, they had an altar call, and this woman was among them. And the pastor was standing there until everybody left except this woman. She was by herself. And he came down off of the pulpit, and he went to pray for her, and this was his testimony. He said, "She stunk so bad that I could not get near her." She said her hair was matted, her clothes were filthy, and I don't know whether she looked sickly or not. She turned to him, and she said, "Can your God do anything for me?" And he said, "I had to confess, yes, he can." And he said to her, "Yes, he can." And he walked to the back. And there was a man there who was a lineman for, I guess, the city of Chicago. And he said, "Do you know who that is?" Pastor says, "I never saw her before in my life." He said, "That woman's infamous. That's Depot Liz. She works in the red light district in downtown Chicago someplace." Pastor said, "Okay." He said, and he walked out. It was about 2 or 3 years later. He said, the same pastor said, "I came out of the church. People had dispersed, and there was this woman standing there. She was holding a newborn babe. She had a man who was her husband standing next to her. And he said, she was glowing. And she looked up at him, and she said, 'Do you know who I am?' And he says, 'I have no idea.' She says, 'I am the one that they called Depot Liz. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And he can take the most desolate, and he can repair and heal.'" And that is not the end of it. The healing is not the end of it with God. The end of it, of which there is no end, is glorifying. Those he calls, he justifies. Those he justifies, he continually glorifies. From one glory to another glory, even into that same image that we are beholding. And there she stood there. How did she get to that place? Jesus Christ had become to her personally wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. And when you are walking in the wisdom of God, that is when God accounts righteousness unto you. Do you understand that? So Abraham believed God, yes. And what did he do? Well, he walked where the Lord told him to walk. And the Lord says, "He's in my righteousness." Because the word of God and the righteousness of God are inseparable. We had a pastor friend of mine who was a student when I was teaching in Pinecrest. And he and his wife came. Then I went there many times. And they were, they had been serving the Lord for some time, and I get a call that they're getting a divorce. And of course, that just, redemption is the restoration of broken relationships. And I'll just relate very briefly his story, and then I'm going to end with one more testimony. It came time, the day came, when she was going to take the divorce papers to be filed to the courthouse. He got on a bus to to go to come to America. He had a lot of friends here. And as he's driving on the bus, riding on the bus, I don't know how far he got. It wasn't that far. The Lord said, go back and make this thing right. He got up, told the bus driver. The bus driver thought it was nuts. He says, I'm getting off the next stop. I'm going to take the bus back that way. For some reason, I don't know whether the courthouse was closed or she was right there to file the papers. He came in the meekness and the lowliness and the wisdom of Christ and somehow said what had to be said to touch her heart, to bring her back to him. And now today they are pastoring a church, and it has probably been at least 10 or 15 years in Bulgaria. The redemption of the Lord Jesus has been made of God to them personally. Redemption. Now the last one. And as I share this with you, I can't give all the details. I am in no way condemning the fellow that I'm going to speak about or justifying myself. That's not even in the picture. I'm just relating to you what the Lord did on our behalf. The man of whom I am speaking was a friend in high school. He got saved. Another friend in high school got saved, and we got together one night for a meeting while I was in Bible school, and the Lord moved so powerfully. And one of the men, not him, the other man was called to go into the ministry and pastor for 37 years that night. I mean, that night he was called into the ministry. We kind of went apart for a little bit, and when I graduated from Bible school, they sent me to a church to speak near the Greater Pittsburgh Airport. As we were driving home that night, my wife and I agreed if we ever wanted to pastor a church, it would be that one. About, I don't know how many months went by, and they sent me down there to speak at that same church again. Only this time, there was a split. And that vibrant church was reduced quite a bit. I'm trying to think of the exact timetable. I'm pretty sure it was, yes, it was this night. We were meeting in the Sheridan Motor Inn, and we had to take the songbooks home in this fellow's car. I can't give you his name. I don't want to give you his name. And as I picked up the box of songbooks and turned to give them to him, the Lord told me that I was going to be the pastor of this church, the next pastor. When I handed him the books, he looked at me, and I knew that the Lord just told him the same thing. And he knew that I knew that he knew that I knew, and it goes back on and on and on. And something happened. It seemed as if it was never going to take place. Only they called me again and said, we want you to come down and candidate. The pastor has left. Only this time there was another split. And the church was down to 18 adults. Well, that didn't matter. I wasn't looking on outward circumstances. What mattered was, does the will of God for me have me become the pastor of this church? Well, I became the pastor. And to a great extent, this man was very influential in convincing the people that I should be the next pastor of the church. We had several years together, and there was such a richness in the Spirit, such a fellowship in the Spirit, such a friendship in the Spirit. And then after about 8 or 9 years, for whatever reason, he had a certain outlook on ministry. He was gifted. He had a tremendous testimony. He told his wife one day, when I come back from this trip, we are no longer going to be married. When he came back from that trip, he had been saved. And the Lord restored his marriage. And he became a blessing, I mean, to hundreds, maybe thousands of people, I don't know, and certainly to me. So, at some point, we agreed to disagree, and he went his way, and I stayed pastoring the church. Well, the Lord's not happy, shall we say, about broken relationships. And I kept this man in my heart. He was in my heart. And he kept me in his heart, even though we were not able to fellowship in whatever way we could fellowship. We would meet every so often, but there just wasn't the meshing. I don't have to put it. Well, about 3 months ago, maybe 2 months ago, I received a call. It was from my grandson, who received a call from his other grandfather, who received a call from this man's son. Can you follow that? And of course, this man's son knew of the broken relationship. But he wanted me to know that my friend who helped me get to church was in hospice care and most likely going to die in a very short period of time. I said, as soon as I heard the news, I said, Lord, please, don't let him die before I have the opportunity to see him. So, the only way I could get in touch with him was to go to this son's office. I knew where it was. I didn't know what kind of reception I was going to have. So I started walking up the steps, the sidewalk, and the son came out, and he could not have been any warmer. He was as open can be. And he invited me into his office, and he asked me to give my testimony, and we talked about the things of the Lord for well over an hour. And I said, can I see your father? And he said, yes. He says, but don't be shocked by what you see. He may not be able to communicate with you. He may not recognize you, and you will not recognize him to a great extent. He's down to 118 pounds. This man was, he had such abilities and vibrant, and he just had all these things going for him. And it's a very sobering thing to see when this flesh is reduced to nothing and we're all going to be there. And all that we're going to have is the redemption that the Lord has been allowed to put in here. Let me encourage you in this. When John says, when we see him, we shall be like him, that word is not when, it is if. If he is manifested to us. Well, what determines that? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And every place that we respond in faith and our heart is purified in that, the Lord is there and he manifests himself to us. And he's there, among other reasons, because every time someone partakes of the redemption of the Lord, he sees the travail of his soul. See, my hugging my mother had its roots in the travail of Jesus' soul. Whatever you have been redeemed in, it's all back in the travail of Jesus' soul. Well, I said, can I see him? And he says, yes. And he forewarned me of what he might be like. And he said, I'm going over there this afternoon. I'd like to see him if it's okay with you. He says, sure. He says, come along. So I came into the room, and he was laying in a hospital bed. His wife was there. The hospice care was there, and they were just getting ready to leave. And when I looked at him, if you can picture this, he was on his side. He had his eyes open and he was staring out into space. And I walked over to the bed and I literally could see, you know how the shoulder has that ball on it? I could literally see it. The only thing that was covering it was his pajamas and probably his skin. He was that skinny. And as I looked at him, he had lost so much weight, his neck looked like it was this long. He had a gray ashen color on his face. And he was just staring out into space, and they say there are times that he would not respond and the like. I walked over to the bed, and he must have been aware that there was somebody there, and he turned. And when he turned and he saw that it was me, that same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwelt in that man, and it quickened his mortal body. And there came life into his face, and a smile, a joy. And he looked at me, and I'll just relate this. I might be wrong. It was if he was saying, I have been waiting for you. There is nobody else in this world that I would rather see at this time than you. Somebody asked me when I gave them this testimony, did he repent? I said, repent? That wasn't even in the picture. I said, I wasn't there to try to get him right. He's going to stand before the judgment seat of the judge of all the earth. Who am I going to judge him? Let Jesus do it. He'll do a much better job. And he'll be much more righteous in the light. Anyway, I'm not here to get him to repent. I'm here to tell him how much I loved him and what a blessing he was to me and to so many other people. And it was just like life was coming in into him and into him. And I said, I would like to hug you, because I was afraid to touch him. He looked that fragile. Pastor Gigi, I'm really good at giving hugs now. But I've had six of the best hugs that have ever been given in history, I can tell you. I mean, and you know, when you hug somebody, it's like you're saying, I want you to, and you mentioned, I want you to come into me. And Jesus wants us in him. You in me, and me in you. And all of us in the Father. So, now when I hug somebody, it's not just a physical thing. It's my heart is enlarged and there's room. And Paul, Saul of Tarsus had no room for a Gentile. You couldn't get Gentile in him with dynamite. But after he became Paul the Apostle, he said to the Corinthians, you are in my heart, all of you. Not all of you Gentiles, but all the Galatian Gentiles, all the Roman Gentiles. The Lord has enlarged my heart. Well, I put my arm around him and didn't pull too tight. He put his arm around me, which took probably most of his strength. And then he started pulling me to himself. Whew. Talk about an experience in God. Stood up, prayed for him, and he didn't have the strength, but he kept reaching out like this. He wanted to touch me. He wanted to hold me. He wanted to express his heart to me. We got finished. I turned. And as I walked away, I realized, yes, it was the redemption of the Lord. Jesus was there because he's always there when the travail of his soul brings redemption in a broken life. The Holy Spirit was bearing witness to all that was going on. And I turned and I had in me a joy that words could not express. It was joy unspeakable and full of glory. And more than that, and I will end with this, I had tasted yet again that the Lord is good. And we had the communion that the Lord wanted us to have when he said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Because remember, his words are spirit and they are life. And so what he is doing is he is taking this life. And I was feeding, as I walked from that place, on the living bread come down from heaven. Jesus Christ has been made unto you and unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And he is longing The Spirit in you is interceding that you might partake of more and more and more of His redemption in your life. It could start with somebody that you may not have spoken to for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years. But I assure you this, if you go there in the humility of Christ and you try to make that right in Jesus, if that person does not receive you, you will still be satisfied. But if they receive you, you will be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord does not want His children to be paupers, and I'm not talking about money. He wants us to be filled with all the riches of the glory of God. And no matter what need that you have, my God shall supply all of your need, not according to the riches of America. America is not rich enough to supply my needs. My need is that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I need the glory and grace of God. So He tells me, my God shall supply all of my need. How? According to His riches in glory. Take your eyes off of yourself and what you lack and put them on the Lord and let Him come to you and have His will in His way. Let Him be to you what God has made Him to you. And you will go from the place where your eye has not seen and your ear has not heard. And you will say, and this is how you overcome the enemy by the word of your testimony. You will say, that which I've seen, that which I've heard, that which has redeemed my heart and taken the death that was in there and put life in its place and taken the bondage that was in there and has set me free. And He that the Son sets free is free indeed. The Lord is calling us. I hope you hear the Spirit calling you, drawing you close. What's going on outside and the beaches and the golf course and that doesn't matter. We're talking about the issues of life and death. Life comes from the heart as it receives from the heart of God. As we pray today, let's just give the Lord an opportunity for you to pray yourself to Him. If He has been speaking to you and telling you to do something, if He has given you a commandment, you say, I can't feel like I can do it, then you keep going to Him until He makes you able, until He strengthens you with might in the inner man, where He takes you from your knowing that you are not able to where you can say in your heart, I can do this through Christ that strengtheneth me. And I walked over to my mother where I was not able, but I did it through Christ who strengthens me. And He will be faithful. He that began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Father, we ask that by Your Holy Spirit, You would come and You would seal this word to our heart, that all men would disappear and You would be transfigured before our eyes. And as we behold Your glory, our heart would cry out, oh, to be like You, to be like You. And I pray for each person that is here today, whatever You have spoken to their heart, whatever commandment that You might want them to fulfill this day, that You will strengthen them with might in the inner man, that they may be able. And Lord, I pray that You would take them from being unable to where they are able to say, I will run the way of Thy commandment after You have enlarged my heart. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor Eugene.
about the power of testimony, huh? Amen. You know, we've said it. Richard says it all the time. He quotes that, how they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. Nobody can argue with your testimony. None of us here can sit and say, nah, that didn't really happen. There's nothing like the power of your testimony. I want to thank you so much. I know you touched my heart. I'm sure you've touched many, many others and enlightened us and given us words of wisdom straight from the heart of God as to how we're to really live our lives and open up our hearts and let him come in and do the work that only he can do. Praise God. So I don't know what else to say except thank you. And thank you, Lord, for speaking through him. Amen? Amen. So I thank each and every one of you. And I just want to mention it's our brother Paul's birthday today. Amen. So we wish you happy birthday. And I know they also just celebrated 40 years, right, last week. So what a blessing they have been to us in this ministry. You want to share something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say really quick, this is a message that we should listen to more than once, and maybe even over and over, because there are so many treasures in this word. I know I want to really repeatedly take it in. So please, there's so many things that God wants to speak to each one of us. He spoke to us today, but I want to go deeper, and I would recommend listening to it, or even maybe we could get a copy on the Facebook.
But. All the messages go on our website.
Yeah.
Monday morning, they go on the website, fgcc.org. It can't be any easier than that. Full Gospel Christian Church, fgcc.org. You can go and listen to this message. Will be on there tomorrow and any other message. Amen. It'll also probably end up on Facebook also.
Yeah. Okay, so please do that. I want to do that because we're digging. We're digging for gold, right? And there's so much gold in that word. So rich. Thank you so much, brother. All I can say is, wow.
Praise God. Why don't you join us in the cafe? Let's have a